Whoopee.
All aboard!
Hey!
Huh?
Oops! What? Wow! Yeah!
Welcome, everybody, to
No.
Studio 76. What show am I doing? Episode 26 of Worst Dreams Come True. This is the show where we suffer through the entire good and bad of Disney Plus. I'm your host, Collins. Joining me today are Carmen and Sarah, returning through Zoom. This week we watched Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, the 1993 film by director Bill Duke. Everybody's favorite nun is back. Dolores Van Cartier goes undercover as Sister Mary Clarence to try and save a troubled inner city school. So initial thoughts. Have you seen this movie before? Have you seen the first Sister Act before or ever? And what is your experience seeing it now? Let's go with Sarah first.
All right. Yeah. Not only have I not seen this movie before, but I hadn't seen the first one. So it was a really test of, whether this movie stands on its own. And I think it does. Like, I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would.
So we watched it together, and yes. I think I'm going to echo that. I still haven't seen the first Sister Act, and yeah, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. It's still, I believe the word you said was it felt like a very mild acid trip.
It felt like it took place in a universe that was slightly heightened from our own, like where things can happen that just like, shouldn't.
I couldn't tell what the target demographic of this movie was. Like, it tries to appeal as like a high school movie, you know, saving the school and all that, to like a high school demographic, but like Whoopi Goldberg's the star, so like, oh, maybe middle-aged women are the demographic, but then there's this whole Catholic thing, but I don't think Catholics are the demographic either. I don't get it, but I enjoyed watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron.
Obviously, I haven't seen this movie, and I have not seen the first one. And when I sat down to watch this, I was like, you know what? I should do my research and watch the first one as well. And then I watched
it. Oh,
you watched both?
I'm definitely not going to watch the first one. There's no way.
Okay.
I was going to be like, wow.
My initial impressions of this movie is The Sound of Music was better.
Oh, that's what you... I don't remember. Is it a similar plot to Sound of Music? I don't remember the plot of Sound of Music.
Well, there's like a nun that obviously isn't a nun. Yeah, there's Nazis, which is different, but she goes and teaches a bunch of kids how to sing and stuff.
That is true.
So
I don't remember.
I do think I may enjoy the first one more because the most enjoyable characters in this one were all the people who were returning from the first movie.
The ensemble nuns. I was surprised they weren't in this movie more.
Yeah,
because they're so good. I mean, the kids, I think,
the kids
bolster
are,
the
there's
movie.
A lot
they
of
don't...
them. There's a lot of the kids, and we'll get to that, of the too many characters syndrome this movie drastically suffers from.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the full review, this is the full review from Wikipedia. IMDb didn't bother, and that will become apparent when we get to the statistics section. We begin. Dolores Van Cartier has become a famous performer in Las Vegas since her time posing as a nun to hide from the mob. I guess that's what happens in the first movie. During her latest performance, she reunites with her friends, sisters Mary Patrick, Mary Robert, and Mary Lazarus. They ask for her help, reuniting her with Reverend Mother, who explains that the convent nuns now work as teachers at the St. Francis Academy in San Francisco, which Dolores attended as a child. That the school faces closure at the hands of its administrator, Mr. Crisp. Unless the school's reputation can be improved. The nuns ask Dolores to reprise her persona as Sister Mary Clarence and become the new music teacher. Dolores reluctantly agrees.
Yeah.
It was a great opening number. Just
that's true, yeah.
Cover after cover.
I had no idea that Whoopi could sing.
I only knew from her acting, not from her singing.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal?
There's still
with the,
a lot of.
What's
80s
the deal
hair.
With the, her like getting swung around, like?
Yeah, there was
I
that
knew.
weird thing where she was like getting mad at the flying
Yeah, I
thing.
thought that was gonna be a
I was like,
thing.
what? She's just kind of
Does
swinging.
she?
It was like, okay.
Is that a thing in the opening? Because I know
Yeah,
that's at the
yeah.
end. Okay,
Yeah,
so
in the
it's kind
opening,
of a callback.
no, you're thinking about the opening. She doesn't when she's hoisted up and that she's like almost
Yeah.
hitting people in the head. That only happens in the opening.
Yes.
And there's no
Yes.
point
I
to it.
forgot. Yeah.
So
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I knew the basic plot of the we looked up the basic plot of the first one, like she mob stuff and that she goes undercover.
She
So I
witnessed a
thought
murder and probably testified.
Yeah, so she was a witness protection basically in the first movie. I thought that with that in mind that these movies were sort of like action comedies to a certain point. Like I was like, okay, when's the mob gonna show up? And like who's the new bad guy? And when she's getting flung around, I was like, oh, someone's sabotaging the show. No, it was just a joke, a gag.
The stage hands couldn't figure out the
The
pulleys.
levers, I guess. I don't know. It was weird. It was funny.
Just played for laughs, and she's flying around in a nun habit, like an angel or something,
Yeah, and
as
she's
she calls her
doing.
friends up on stage, and they're just like she calls them up to sing, and they're just hanging out, like I'm on stage.
She keeps like, she does this weird like cover mashup performance where she's just singing snippets of a bunch of other songs, which I guess, I don't know if that's the thing in Vegas. I've never been there.
Sounds like a Vegas
Yeah.
thing. Yeah.
It's,
Just
yeah,
like doing something really weird that's kind of entertaining.
Yeah. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh. And we get the postman and the other guy.
Oh,
She
yeah.
likes
That
her
was.
men big and without much to leave to the imagination. Which good for her, but did not expect that on Disney Plus.
When a certain joke with Mr. Postman comes up, we were just like, this is on Disney Plus.
Well, it's a
Yeah.
Disney movie originally made by Disney.
Yeah,
So they were good with
Amblin
it
was
from the start.
yeah, Amblin Entertainment was basically what Disney did to experiment with stuff outside of their own brand. But they were still the parent company of and profited from, so like gosh, that was uncomfortable. Kathy DeGimi,
Was. I do
hilarious.
not know. No.
She's
She's my favorite.
in Hocus Pocus.
No.
She's not Mary or Sarah.
No, she is Mary.
She is Mary? Winnie. Okay.
Yeah.
She's Mary in Hocus Pocus, right? Winnie's the other character.
She's a great comedian, and
Oh my gosh, she's
I
so funny
mean,
in
a
this
lot. She
movie.
was a lot more prolific in the 90s. Doesn't get as much credit now.
Apparently, yeah, as
She
evidenced
was
by.
also in. Wasn't she also in My Big Fat Greek Wedding? I don't remember.
She may have been.
Hold on, I've got IMDb up. Let me
Yeah,
just.
you're the IMDb person for this. Bring up the goofs and gags and trivia from this movie, why don't you? Or
Very good. Make
maybe that should be Cameron's job in the future. You're basically a co-host.
me.
That's your job now. We get introduced to Maggie Smith, I believe.
Yeah.
His
That
mother.
was really weird.
Mother
I was
Superior.
hyped to see McGonagall in this movie.
She has a lot of fun in this movie, which she doesn't in more, her more serious, like period piece roles.
Is this before Harry Potter?
93, yeah, it's before Harry Potter. The books were just coming out.
Yeah, so Harry Potter ripped off Sister Act for
What?
McGonagall
In what way? Yeah,
by
hola.
casting by casting Maggie Smith as McGonagall because she's basically the same character.
I mean, maybe she just got typecast by this nun role.
Maybe you get to a certain age and then you're always typecast.
Yeah.
Like in my Zoom background, we've got Patrick Stewart, who's been typecast as an old man for half of his life,
Yeah.
ever since he was 30.
Oh, she's not in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. I don't know why I
This
thought
whole,
she was.
the whole scene with Reverend Mother.
Who?
Was
Isn't it Mother Superior? Is her name?
well,
Yeah.
in the write-up it says Reverend Mother, but maybe she's Mother Superior. I don't
I think
know.
that's the same. It's just a title.
McGonagall.
Yes.
The cat lady,
Yeah,
as I
we
call
were
her.
very confused during this scene. where she just, like, no favor owed, no compensation or anything, just says, we want you to become a school teacher.
She does. The context that I got was, the context that I got is that she became famous as a result of the hijinks from the first movie.
Yes.
And thus owes them. Although it's crazy that with just this, the tiniest thread of attachment.
She's got a career and it's like, yeah.
She drops everything.
To be a school teacher. It's.
For a week? For an indeterminate amount of time.
She goes for a whole semester.
This whole inciting incident.
Let him in.
So weird. I just, like, when they first come, like, we just have to get you to the church. No reason, just come. And then she's like, all right, up and leave.
She flies from Las Vegas to San Francisco. Just, I mean, obviously she loves these nuns.
I guess. I haven't seen this first movie.
But there's, like, no reason. I'd be like, you could have at least gone there with a reason and, like... and then she gets to the church, and then she's just, like, trying to guilt trip her.
There's a plane flying over Cameron.
It is! There's, like, a billion planes! Stop flying over my house!
He lives in the flight path, I know, from Microsoft Flight Simulator.
You've flown over Cameron's house, isn't it?
Just labeled Cameron's house.
I flew from my house to Colin's house in Simulator, and it has you follow flight paths, and one goes, you know, through Ogden. So.
Right.
Oh, I live in Roy, which is supposed to be a nowhere town.
Well, I mean, for the listeners at home, it's going to be better than last episode regardless, so.
Oh, there it goes.
My goodness. I had an internship interview, and they, like, asked about, like, you know, my experience and stuff, and I had a moment of fear of, like, oh no, if he goes to the podcast and listens to the most recent episode, it's going to be the one where the audio screwed up.
Oh, man.
Like, oh, listen to the one just before.
You tried to save it. You really did.
I tried my best to save it, and it wasn't worth re-recording, especially if it's a movie podcast.
Yeah, you don't want to lose those funny goofs and gags. Yeah.
We had some good Bryan Singer.
Bryan Singer stuff.
Yeah. Any other thoughts for the opening? Whoopies. Fantastic.
No, yeah, it's great. I think it's funny. It's 93, but there's still so much 80s. It hasn't fully transitioned.
Much 80s.
Like, the hair is really big.
Yeah.
Well, the 90s got into, I mean, parts of it got into more grunge, but the hair kind of got flatter.
You could see definitely the students feel more 90s, but the adults still feel very 80s.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a showgirl in Las Vegas, the big hair probably stayed for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Her hair is. The wigs she had on during that performance were enormous. Mm-hmm.
And then they, like, she has her big hair when she gets to San Francisco. And, like, how did, like, if it was a wig, obviously, to get into the habit, like, if it was her actual natural hair, she would have had to, like, dampen it down to fit in.
Yeah. Or do this.
Because, like, this, she's got to have her hair, like, real tight to fit in.
Yeah. She's got just, like, a bald cap on just to keep it all down.
Possible, like a hair cap, what you
hair
wear
cap.
In bed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what that's called. Yeah, big hair.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll fast forward to San Francisco at the school.
A hair hat.
And so from this point on, it refers to Whoopi's character as Mary Clarence, not as the character's actual name. And I'm just going to go with that because it's avoid confusion.
Mm-hmm.
At the school, Mary Clarence meets the school staff of friars led by the humble but inept Father Maurice. She attends her first music class, meeting the rowdy teenagers who are merely there just to pass, just by attending classes. Mary Clarence butts heads with the ringleader, Rita Louise Watson, who walks out when Mary Clarence introduces a firmer hand in class. Skipped a lot there. The other students stay to avoid failure. When they break into spontaneous, synchronized singing, Mary Clarence decides to turn them into a choir, to which the students at first object. So that's a paragraph of, like, a quarter of the movie, almost.
It is, yeah. Because there's
the
I mean, it's obvious when she walks into the classroom for the first time and they're
kind of
having a freestyle. Well, you can tell that she's going to turn them into a choir because they're having a freestyle. It's a music class.
Sister Act Two.
And they're doing music. And Cameron is frozen.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I should pause or keep going.
Okay.
There he is. Okay.
You're muted.
Yeah. Okay.
I just didn't want to. I didn't want to lose you in the middle
that
of this.
That was terrifying.
Yeah, it's like one eye was gone. But yeah, they're doing a freestyle, and so they're obviously talented at music. So obviously, that's where that's gonna lead. And this, I knew they were gonna like hip hop it up.
She does nails across the blackboard for a session.
Really effectively.
Yeah. I had never heard the term, what was it called, like a bird class or something?
Yeah, a burn class I've heard of, but not a bird class.
Because you fly right through it. A burn class makes more sense. It sounds like
thing that's just dumb, you know?
I think they made it up. I've never taken a just music class. I was always in orchestra. So I don't know if that is a burner class for most people. I took one in fifth grade.
It was a required music course, and you just learned stuff like...
We all took that in fifth grade. We're moving... This is high school, Sarah.
Only applicable experience.
Okay.
You learned about music.
Let her be relevant.
Key signatures and instruments and like different composers. Stuff like that. It implies that
it implies that the class has destroyed all of their textbooks and stuck them to the ceiling.
Individual pages.
There's not that many pages, which
I guess they face no repercussion for.
It seems like they're so crazy that the nuns won't do anything. Like, I guess you can't suspend an entire class. Like, the numbers are just too much.
Maybe. I mean, she did threaten
that. She
does, yeah.
We get introduced to a few of the main class members, all of their names. I do not remember, so IMDb.
They were not very.
There was Rita, and then there was.
Rita was Lauryn Hill, right?
Getch.
Yeah.
And that's it. David was the white kid.
I don't remember this guy. He had a nickname.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was.
And then there was like the super suck up kid.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Amal is the
Africa first kid.
Africa first kid, I believe. Sketch.
Somehow
is
he was
one of them.
Somehow Amal was like more nerdy than the brown nosing kid. I don't know how.
Yes. Well, because he's one of those guys that
Jennifer Love
like,
Hewitt's in this.
My ancestors. And to a degree, he's ahead of his time, like in taking back and giving himself an African name. But he's also shoving it in people's faces in a very performative way.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, he's kind of he's probably with the times because Muhammad Ali did that first, I think.
That's
before
true.
Yeah. This. And wasn't it in the 90s that, I'm going to forget her name. Collins, you know in Bob's Burgers when Jean dresses up as Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah.
From her UNITY face.
UNITY face, yeah.
Yes, where she was dressing in a lot of traditional African clothing and had a big Africa necklace. I think that was in the 90s. So this could have been really current now that I think about it.
That was sort of the, I think by like ahead of his time, like if someone said that as an intro to their class nowadays, I don't think people would consider it as controversial as it was back then. Because when I saw that, I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, like his last name is Jones, and he's like, that's the name slaveholders gave. I'm Amal.
I told this to Sarah. I don't remember which podcast it was, but there was a person on a podcast who mentioned how their father, I believe, changed his last name sometime before he got married. Because his last name was Smith, and it was just because his like grandmother or grandfather or whatever came from Europe and just got to Ellis Island, said their name was Smith to make it easier, and then went over.
So
they lost their ancestral name, so he changed it back to what it would have been if they hadn't changed it to Smith. And it's that it's that sort of concept.
Right, yeah.
Except it's easier with Europe because you're able to actually find what the name was. There are records.
Yeah, or at least records that were kept and not destroyed.
Exactly.
So, He's an interesting character. Like, he's played for laughs, but he's also, you know, serious about it. And
yeah,
Whoopi respects it to a point.
She doesn't respect his attitude.
Yeah, because he's getting mad at all the other black kids in the school for being like not black enough.
Yeah.
I thought she would be a major character because he was played by Jennifer Love Hewitt as a baby, but
she's the one that's like powdering her nose in the intro.
Yeah.
Like doing her makeup or something.
Okay.
She's supposed to be the pretty girl, but she has barely any makeup on.
It's a character type that she does not play that often further into her career. Uh-huh. Was she the one in Ghost Whisperer?
In some Ghost. She was.
You never watched Ghost Whisperer as a kid?
It was on ABC.
Yeah.
And she would like go to places and whisper to ghosts. Okay. I never saw it, but there were commercials during American Idol. I've watched
several full episodes of Ghost Whisperer.
I think I've seen like two.
Tyler Chase. There's a lot of Classroom Kid.
Mm-hmm.
As like credited character name, it's just Classroom Kid. Not even like 1, 2, 3, 4, just Classroom Kid. Also, and we'll get
Hill is in being in this movie is a gift to this movie because this is when she was becoming incredibly popular.
Yes, she's Rita, correct?
She's Rita, yes.
Yeah.
And she's got an incredible voice, but it's just, I was just like, oh, fun.
And with the Classroom Kids, there's too many of them. And it would be fine if like it focused on like the main ones with personality, but you'll get into the third act and then you'll have like important dialogue given by a kid that you've never seen before.
Oh yeah. Yes. And you're like, wait, who's this
at
now?
At like the hour mark, there's a new kid that says something. And I'm just like, who is this?
Who are you? Like there's so many characters in this movie.
Describe them.
I only have a few of them on my bus.
Super glue Whoopi Goldberg to a chair.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Which I thought was going to launch into like a prank montage, but it was just the one. Was all she would take.
I thought that she was going to turn it on her head and like just know it was there and never sit down or like call them out on it. But no, she fell for
almost.
And then we get Whoopi Goldberg sliding down a hallway in a roller chair. Which was funny.
I almost chose that as my background.
That would have been good.
And she's pushing forward instead of using physics against and like pushing.
Yeah. Anybody who's played around in a high school or junior high hallway with a roller chair knows you kick backwards and just don't even bother looking where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to do it.
I mean, she's in the basement. She wasn't going to get very far. I doubt there's a ramp.
What are you going to do when you get to the stairs?
Like, there's not an elevator in this old school, yeah. And there's probably not a ramp.
I was very surprised at how quickly the class turns around to her.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that happened a little fast. I mean, I hate plot lines like this where they're trying to win over the class, but I thought that it would draw it out. I thought that would be like half the movie would be that. And then like in the third act, they're like a cohesive unit, but she mm-hmm. calls their bluff, says she'll fail them, and only Rita walks out.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that. She just
like, it was probably too fast, but the movie is so much more enjoyable when they're a team and they're working towards a goal.
It's very relatable from being a high school and junior high kid, is they think they have this power over the school and the teachers that is really just non-existent.
Yeah.
And so she's just like, I'm the teacher, I can just fail you. And then she's like, oh, we'll all walk out. And then everyone's like,
she's like, fine,
I don't want to fail the class.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about it. They never really expand on the one character who
They never expand on why Rita is such a jerk.
No, they do. Because of her home life.
But her...
She might be that kid, but she also has a reason to hate music.
I thought that they would be like, she has a bad home life, like abusive or something. But like, her dad passed away, and yeah, that's sad. And her mom is not supportive of her, but...
Only in the music.
only in music, the level of just mean she's person very, she is. Yeah.
I think that might just be
they needed that character.
Yeah, they needed that energy. And there like are people that are like that just naturally.
Oh, yeah. We all know people like that who
have
no justification.
Yeah. The kid that has a late night job bagging groceries.
Yeah, they don't expand on that.
Because that Sketch. Obviously, like, he needs the money and, like, he wants to be an artist. That's why he's always
tired to class.
Mm-hmm. But he kind of just, like, fixes it. She's like,
yeah, she was just like, tired. Don't sleep again. And he's like, all right.
Don't be sleepy.
He's not tired the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I was expecting them to like.
I guess they can only. There's
so
many
characters. They can't say why. I wanted to know, like, why does he have to work a job? Is the owner of the shop his dad? Or, like, does he, like, have a sick parent? So he has to work in their stead? No answers.
Yeah.
Which is fine. The only
I thought that would have been an interesting thing to explore, but time crunch. I understand.
Well, the problem is they wanted to focus on the
Rita
kids with this story, but the story wasn't following the kids. The story was following Whoopi, which is their problem. Yeah. It's like they can't do two things at once.
It is Sister Act is by its nature a vehicle for Whoopi Goldberg, and it kind of rises above that, which I kind of like. Your
Zoom background.
Yes, there she goes.
It's a vehicle for Whoopi Goldberg.
Another 5 million, please.
She does that face a lot.
I love it.
And I wonder, like, is it a character choice or is it her being like, why am I in this movie?
No, yeah, I think that's a happy smile. I don't think that's a I hate to be here smile.
Yeah, I bet she's just having fun. She don't care what she's making.
It didn't look like everyone had a fun time making this movie. I have to say.
They're not trying to do anything crazy. They're just like, it's fun. It's just a fun movie.
Hello, Kitty.
Can we talk about those reverends or whatever the heck?
Oh, the friars?
The fathers, yeah.
Fathers.
Friars, Sarah.
Yeah. No, you were right. I had the F, but I had
Wait, is it father or friar?
Friar.
I mean, they're like Father John, Father whatever, Luke.
No, I don't. I do believe that they are called friars. Oh, no, Maurice. No, never mind.
I'm pretty sure Catholic. Right? Yes.
Father and mother.
The fathers are friars. They're also monks. And
the mothers are nuns.
Yes, because these are specifically Roman Catholic.
Monks right. are also friars. And friars are also monks.
Gosh, dang it.
Experts at Catholicism right here.
Yeah, and monks anyway. Can also run up walls.
I like that they included the sun hats. This is at the very end of the movie, but those are things that friars wear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I thought it was just some weird thing that like costume you put on them, and they were like...
No, that's it's part like of their uniform. It yeah. Oh, okay. Specifically, I think Franciscan monks, but I could be wrong. I mean, they're in San Francisco, so I think
San Franciscan
right.
monks.
No, because they're in San Francisco at the school of St. Francis.
Oh.
San Francisco.
Oh, and San Francisco is named after St. Francis. St. Francis. In Spanish.
Yes.
We're learning so much.
We're learning Not so about the much. Movie,
but... anyway, so about the reverends or fathers.
It is right. Look it up.
Monks or whatever.
Oh, Santa is...
Santa.
Feminine Santa is or feminine. Saint? Okay.
Santa
I was like,
Clarita.
Thank you. Like, I've never What's studied Spanish.
San Diego.
Oh, so it's San and then Santa? Those are the two.
I believe Santa is feminine, but
Santa
but I don't
is
speak
Norwegian.
Spanish.
anyway, we're still in this paragraph summary.
This is a chunk of the movie.
They rap and she's like, I listen to music too, fellow kids.
I'm eclectic.
And he's like, well, what are girl groups? And she lists a bunch and like, oh, I've never heard of those. I'm like, yeah, well.
Yeah, if anyone said they didn't know the Supremes, I would react in a similar fashion.
I didn't know who the Supremes were. I knew the lead singer when she mentioned her name.
I gotta go.
I've never listened. I've never been exposed to the Supremes before.
60s girl groups, big hair, specifically, you know, black groups, girl groups, which were the peak of music and kind of still are. So.
Mm. Mm.
in the 60s.
Oh, was it 60s? I don't think I've heard of it.
Yeah, like wait, Supremes were 60s.
We
yeah.
haven't, have we gotten to them rapping in the...
In the basketball court?
I think that's the end of this paragraph you described.
Okay, the next one starts with Mary Robert overhearing Rita singing in the chapel. So we get the all of the Hello Darkness, My Old Friend shots of Rita looking longingly at the class wherever they are. She's like just like standing in the window just... You failed me, or like I don't like.
Can't enjoy music. Can't be in choir class. Mom hates music, which is a ridiculous thing, by the way.
Is it a situation where like she wants to be in the class, but she doesn't want the class to actually be about music because then her mom will pull her out of the class.
But her mom can't pull her out of the class because that's a regular class in school. She has to pass.
Yeah.
See, it makes no sense. Like that's what happened later when it's like, no, you can't be in the choir, and it's like, but that's part of the class. She might fail if she's not part of the choir.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, she looks angrily at them from a distance. We get the really, really stupid Mary Had a Little Lamb scene.
Oh.
We're like, yeah, we can rap, and then they recite Mary had a little lamb, and I'm like, that's not impressive freestyle. Can you,
I mean, when they're freestyling the basketball court and Rita is freestyling,
they're
flying. Rita does a good job of freestyling, actually. Yeah.
Lauren,
that is yeah exactly. But like saying Mary Had a Little Lamb fast into a beat is not rap.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Whoopi roasting the girl that says she doesn't know Mary Had a Little Lamb? And I can't tell if she's being serious. Like, maybe where she comes from, Mary Had a Little Dog. Like, is she from I can't somewhere tell if else? She's
completely making fun of this girl.
Like, is this girl joking?
And then the girl sings some like 1920s song or something.
She sings the theme to Love Shack or Love Boat. Which one is it?
Love Boat. Yeah. Yeah. And then the woman says that she likes the theme song to Gilligan's Island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She definitely has like a very like 1920s to 40s sounding voice.
Out in the 70s, but that's okay.
And that's the thing that they never expound upon either, because there's too many characters.
Everyone has kind of different styles, which is kind of cool.
They don't know how to harmonize.
Yeah. They all sound good individually. And then when it comes to the ensemble, everyone sounds terrible.
Oh my gosh, what's his bucket? The head of the school who's just the worst.
I think he's. Do you mean the monk or the guy that owns the property?
The guy that owns the property.
He owns
the property.
That's the impression I got.
Mr. Crisp is.
Because he says he'll turn it into like a luxury party place or something, which
I was so confused. I thought he was the principal, but then he didn't act like a principal, and I was like, what is his character?
He's Mr. Moneybags.
Teach them soccer, and the guy says, but we don't have the balls for that.
And then there's this pregnant pause.
I love it when a movie does. You want to go out, buddy? Okay, 1 second.
Send him to me. Bye, Yak.
When they do a dumb joke like that, instead of moving to the next scene or trying to save it, they just let it linger. It's just like, we don't have the balls for that. And then like 5 seconds of silence.
Mm-hmm. They're like, get it.
Kathy Najimy teaching sex ed. And then there's another thing that I thought would be a character moment where like, it's like, does anybody know what sex is? And they're all like, hey, this girl does, ha ha ha.
Oh, yeah.
And then they never pick that up again. They're like trying to give all of these characters backstories and stuff, but then they never explain any of it.
Yeah, obviously she's
like, why is she being slut-shamed?
The EZA of the school in some way.
There's a movie.
It's a fun movie.
What else happened in this movie?
A lot.
I mean,
they're not performing yet.
Can we talk about the whole school shutting down thing?
Yeah.
Let me drink a drink. Hold on.
Hydrate, everyone.
Hydrate. Yep. Okay.
Brought to you by H2O.
Okay, so what really made me mad about this whole school shutting down thing is they're just like, oh, the school's shutting down, and you're like, oh no, the school's shutting down, this is a really bad thing. But then they go and talk about it and they're like, well, the kids will get bussed off to a public school and then we'll probably just get transferred to another church. And it's like, that's not bad. You're probably all going to go together and all the kids are going to stay together. They're probably going to get a better education because the public school has more money. Where's the bad point in this? Why do I care about this school shutting down?
Yeah, so this isn't a public school.
Yeah.
I think it's more about taking it out of the community.
Yeah,
like the community losing
a
resource.
That's part of revitalizing the chapel.
But it's not like an end of the world scenario.
That does make the whole saving a troubled inner city school. The fact that it's not a public school, the fact that like the parents are paying for their kids to be there.
I don't know that it's like a private.
Is it a free public school? It seems
probably free. Yeah, I think it is.
It seems like it's the only school in the area, and that. Because I know that is a thing.
Yeah. I mean, and schools not getting funding is,
I mean, where we live,
still a problem.
Catholic schools are private and you have to pay.
Yes. But
right.
I don't know. It's just based on the impressions that we got, I guess.
Charter yeah, but schools. They didn't give us any sense of like urgency or like, I guess, weight to this bad thing happening.
Right.
So I was like,
the kids
I don't care.
Like bummed. Because of it, but there wasn't any real stakes set. Like, there's the conversation, like, yeah, they're going to shut down. Yeah, that's rough.
Okay.
Okay.
See you next year at the public school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The overcrowded public school in San Francisco. Oh, jeez. San people who went to public school in San Francisco, I do not envy you. That does not.
Maybe that's the
time.
Bad thing is having to go to public school.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It's all implied.
Yeah, you get sex ed from a person who's actually eating the donut. those scenes are so funny.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, Kathy Najimy.
I'm looking for some ways to spice up sex ed.
I had to pause the movie and just walk away for a couple minutes.
So what is it? She always says, like, does anyone know what promiscuity means?
Like, what can you teach us about sex ed? You don't have to taste the donut to know that it's sweet. Huge smile. Everyone's just like,
And then the guy teaching Latin who's just like staring deadpan into the wall, just shouting Latin.
Oh, that was so good. I loved that, actually.
I couldn't tell what was going on initially. I'm just like,
the dude
he's
falls
just
asleep
yelling.
And falls out of his chair.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
She does make them put more care into their classes across the board. Like, in order to save the school, you have to care a little bit.
Yeah. Definitely have had teachers who didn't. But I feel like I've aired my grievances about that on multiple podcasts already.
Anything left in the tank?
Anything left in the tank? I don't know. Have I gotten to seventh? I haven't gotten to junior high yet. I do not
just
remember. Just
kind of moved throughout your whole education.
I think I vented about pretty much all of elementary school and kindergarten. I don't remember preschool. Did I have bad teachers in preschool?
No, we went to a really nice preschool.
We went to
we
a
paid
Catholic
for it.
Preschool, didn't we?
We did, yes.
Ooh.
I don't know that our parents paid for it. I'll have to find
out. I don't know. It was, what was it, like, Children's Adventure?
Children's Discovery Academy.
Children's Discovery, that's for me. That was a song.
A fantastic preschool, if you
and
in the area.
We,
or at least
we
it
had
was
a, we had a preschool
20 years
graduation,
ago.
And that was the first time I had ever been inside of a Catholic cathedral. Church? Chapel?
Chapel,
that's the word. That was the first time I'd ever been in a Catholic chapel, and I was just like, oh, this is fancy. And I was like six or whatever.
Where's the basketball court?
The basketball court. Yeah.
That's a specifically Utah thing.
Is it? No, I mean they had basketball courts in the LDS chapels in Indiana.
Well, yeah, right? I'm referring to that specific, yeah, the,
oh,
the
that
chapels.
Joke. Yeah, how like, wait, your church doesn't have a basketball court in it? It's hard to explain. Yeah. Let's continue it. Onward. I don't know what else to talk about this section. Mary Robert over here.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know if we had. I was going to talk about that.
Oh, no, we have more. Yes.
We have more movies.
I just got to that part of my notes.
Okay. Yeah. Mary Robert overhears Rita singing, and Mary Clarence convinces her to return to the class. The class and nuns restore the school's decrepit music room. Oh, it's okay. And practice extensively later performing Oh Happy Day before the whole school, led by the preachy but talented vocalist Amal. Okay. Wikipedia does say that he is preachy. I'd say that's a good word. The nuns discover numerous trophies, revealing the school won the All-State Choir Championship multiple times in the past. Because, you know, that's how you find out that information. Trophies, not by documents. Revealing the school and decide to enter the choir once again. Father Maurice gives his blessing to the choir's entry as long as they raise the money themselves and each student obtains parental consent to attend. Which is where I knew we were going to get
Senior day? I think we missed that.
Oh yeah. They went to a senior day, like a senior center.
Oh yeah, to demonstrate why the choir is such a good idea with the choir from the
first to show
movie.
How these old women and how Mary Robert can belt.
Yeah,
redhead one. I was surprised when that came out of her.
I had seen that trope in Pitch Perfect, the quiet mousy one having the biggest voice.
Yeah.
So
this one did it first, though, right?
Yeah. Obviously, this is where it came from.
Weird song that they sung, though.
I thought the whole thing was just cringy.
The song they sung, where they're like,
it's a very Baptist style. Like
they talked about
for these movies being Catholic.
They're like listing the things they were listing off things wrong with the world, and gun control was one of them. And I was like,
I believe it's a hip hop song, but I don't know who it's by or what the name of it is, because it was so different in a choir.
Kind of botched a lot of hip hop songs.
Yeah, they did.
Also,
yes.
At the end of this, they casually mentioned that two people died during that. They were
they
like,
do?
Those two people, those two old people in the back, they didn't even clap. And the guy's like, dude, they were dead.
You must have been talking. I missed that.
Yeah, it was pretty good. There's just very casually mentioned in the background.
That's hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
She gets in trouble for going on a field trip, which I had Sunday school teachers who did that.
Ooh.
He's like, oh, we're gonna take a field trip to my house. Nothing funky happened, but like they were told like don't do that.
I mean,
because like You know how that sounds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, So don't,
parental consent. I doubt anyone can get away with a field trip without parental permission now. Even when we were in school, I would think not.
But. Yeah, I think not. Especially in San Francisco in the 90s.
Especially with Mary, sister... What her name
Mary
is?
Robert.
Driving. Right. Okay. No.
Oh, yeah, the old one.
Did because that... she.
I missed
she's
that joke.
She's got the. She runs over like half of the things in the alley on the way out.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that was such a funny scene when they're going out and they just like run over like a bunch of trash.
And when they're going to the thing in Los Angeles or Hollywood later on, they're like, someone else can drive, and she's like, no, I drive.
Different driver. That was the friar.
No,
it's the sister. The friar also can't drive. I am correct.
But the joke of someone else should drive is with the friars, not with the sister.
Well, no, because they make the joke.
No, they both make that
too.
Joke.
They make the joke twice.
They're counting the money.
Yeah.
Yes, they make that joke twice.
Oh right. Yeah. While they're counting. Okay, now I remember.
It's
I was thinking the money in the car. No.
Just.
I think Sister Mary Lazarus.
That's
the name of the.
No, Mary Lazarus is the old. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because
she's in White Christmas. Died. Did you know that?
Oh, is
she's
that her?
The busybody.
The busybody anonymous.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I knew I recognized her.
The person who decides to just make the plot absolutely terrible for a solid 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. Ruining an otherwise perfect movie.
Yeah, White Christmas would be perfect if not for like the second act, third act. It's the third act.
It's the second. It's a subplot.
No, it's the main plot in the third act anyway.
Kind of.
Because they resolve it when she comes back at the end. Anyway, we're not talking about White Christmas. It's not on Disney Plus. We're not giving them any undue airtime.
Sorry.
Just cut it all.
Yeah.
What are we on? So did they do the fundraiser yet where she's like, get up off of that thing?
This is when that happens. I did not know what the lyrics were to that song until this movie because it's
James
just
Brown
like,
kind of
because James Brown doesn't enunciate.
Yeah.
So now I know it's clap.
It's too busy
you
thrusting.
Feel better. And I do feel better. Thank you, Whoopi. Because I.
Also, I didn't mention this at the time, but
dance until
the
you
level
clap.
I don't remember.
Dance,
let's just go
dance.
With that.
Dance, okay.
Dance
sorry.
And you'll feel better.
See, still don't know.
The level of trust within the community to pass around baskets of money
yeah.
and not have someone just
maybe
take
it
down.
It's not, maybe because it's nuns.
Yeah, I mean, stealing from the church is
like
not a good thing.
Sin.
To. It's not a great thing to do.
Yeah.
Stealing just... tithes, but not, these are donations, but I was like, wow.
Mr. Danish.
That's really trusting. Just pass around like... In a mosh pit, just. Anyways.
And they get like, they said
the
they needed 2,000, and they get like 1,900 something.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically get enough.
Wait, I thought they got more than that. I thought it was like net was.
See, they say that, but 1,900. But I'm pretty sure they say 2,000. So.
Whatever. They,
it's confusing.
They get that from one fundraiser. I thought that would be more of a thing in the plot was trying to raise money, but then
money.
they just solve it in one scene. Why do they need $2,000 to drive from San Francisco to Hollywood?
I think they have
gas,
to overnight
lodging,
and stuff. Yeah.
Food. Yeah, they have to stay overnight.
Oh, and it's Hollywood, so it's super expensive. Sleep
yeah.
in the bus.
Yes.
Although their bus is not as good as like the tour buses that I took with the orchestra tours.
For those of us that don't live in California, it takes 6.5 hours for that drive. I thought it was only like an hour, but that makes more sense why this is such a big, like they need permission
yeah,
ships.
I have no idea where anything in California is. Like it's, like it's just like a little hub right there. You got like San Francisco, Disneyland,
yeah, they're all right together, right?
They're all like just like within like the same few blocks.
Yeah. I would definitely say, I mean, they should absolutely have permission slips for a 6.5 hour drive. And also when Rita's mom drives for the competition, that is a commitment.
Yeah.
Like,
and she goes there to be, but she goes there because she's angry. That's the initial motivation. Yeah, I know. We'll get there. That's like the new, like we stopped using it.
I'm
was
so
a movie
annoying.
That was made. We haven't used that catchphrase for a while, but the new catchphrase seems to have become we'll get to it. We'll get there.
Well, I think it's more when I'm on, I can't stop talking about things that haven't been discussed yet.
So Rita's strict but well-meaning mother, Florence, refuses to let her daughter attend, believing a musical career is a dead end after her husband died trying to make a name for himself. However, Rita forges her mother's signature to go on the trip, but leaves an apology note for her, prompting Florence to drive to Hollywood to see the competition for herself. Mr. Crisp finds a magazine in the school library, which has Dolores Van Cartier on the front cover, recognizes her as Mary Clarence and Warren's father, Maurice of the Sham. But the choir has already left for the competition. The friars pile into their old van and race to confront Mary Clarence.
And that
Mary
seems
Clarence.
Like
Mary Clarence.
You don't belong in the school.
You're not a real nun.
That sequence of the friars driving is something out of like Gilligan's Island. like him driving on the wrong side of the road, like, you know, the 70s or 60s.
I would think, yeah, I would think more like Mad Mad World or Planes, Trains, yeah, Automobiles. Or
that's exactly it. It feels very much like that. Like he's driving on the wrong side of the road and yelling at people when he's almost yeah. hit head well, on.
Yeah, maybe we should let someone who has a driver's license drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says something like to another driver, like, go to hell. And then because he's a nun, and then
Mr. Crisp swears as well.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Rita's mom, I guess we can get into Rita's mom.
Rita's mom. She
her
does.
Her motivations are surface level.
My husband died trying to get a music career. Probably wasn't why he died. It says well-meaning.
It reminds me of Coco, how the dad leaves and then the family forbids any music. Like, it's crazy, but apparently it's a thing.
It's the same plot as Little Mermaid 3. Remember?
Two.
Is it two? Okay.
It's two.
Ariel's Beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the it was prequel, Little Mermaid 2. Yeah.
Same plot as Coco, except less dead people. But banning music. Absolutely. It's a plot contrivance, if anything. Like, they needed some they needed at least one of the students to have a meaningful arc, and I guess that's what that was.
Yeah.
And like, even like when we're though, it makes no sense in the moment of like, give me no tape player, no this, like, it's a dead end career. Like, it's a school choir.
Yeah.
Competition.
And she's not going to get her big break.
Sarah's in band, I was in orchestra. We went to competitions
all the time.
I don't think we won any, and I'm not a musician.
I did, but that's okay.
Most of the kids in that bus.
Okay.
My orchestra wasn't that good.
They were pretty good. I don't know. I was only there for symphony.
Those of you who listen to the podcast who were in the Bountiful High Orchestra from 2014 back through 2010, because I graduated in 14. No, 2011.
Took you 4 years.
2011. High school is 3 years in Utah. Were we good? Or did we only think we were good?
There were definitely people who were fantastic, and Andrea Peterson is a gift.
I forgot her first name.
I think we're friends on Facebook. So
really?
So I want to let her know if she ever watches this that she was amazing.
Oh my gosh, if she watches my podcast, that would be hilarious. Yeah, sorry.
To bring the Bountiful High Orchestra in.
I have
down
not
into
touched
the mud.
My
I'm going
cello
to
in years, Miss P. Am I? But I have a podcast now. Anyway, we're at the competition now. Backstage at the competition, the choir are intimidated by the other entrants, who are seasoned veterans, and consider quitting. But Mary Clarence's commitment inspires them to persevere. The friars arrive, and after Father Maurice decides to support the choir upon seeing their change in enthusiasm, the other friars trap Mr. Crisp in a closet to prevent him from interfering with Mary Clarence. The choir takes the stage, Rita performing a solo before the choir perform an urban contemporary gospel rendition of Joyful, Joyful with hip-hop inspired choreography. That is a mouthful.
Sure is.
It's an Eiffel too.
It is where the 90s really shine.
Being a 90s movie and being a music competition, I was surprised that we didn't have like a villain school where they show up to the competition and they're like,
they get their pink fan out, like,
yeah, we're better than you.
They kind of do that, the two-year
Yeah, they like all like stared at him for a second and then like
they do
back.
Oh, they did. I missed that.
Yeah,
I was expecting them to like full on taunt. There's some funny backstage hijinks.
Is there?
Kind of. We get to see two
with
whole
the sausage.
Oh yeah, where he locks him in a closet with a sausage.
Yeah, we didn't touch on how the school was being fed by a German or monk who could only cook German worst sausages and worst and stuff. And so he brings this gigantic sausage that they use as a door jam.
Is it frozen?
It doesn't look frozen, but I guess the joke is that it's an inedible sausage and it's going to be as good as a block.
I mean, bratwurst is pretty inedible.
Yeah. The
sausage they had during that meal, like, they covered it with gunk to make it look bad, and the dressing around it was dumb, but like the sausage itself probably isn't that bad.
No,
I like me a good bratwurst occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
From Costco.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know if that's everywhere, but you can get a hot dog or you can get a bratwurst at Costco.
Yeah.
You need to be cultured or you can be American.
Yeah, I was going to mention where I've had real bratwurst, but
you have been to Germany. Thank you. Tell us all. Yeah.
Gonna bring it up.
I'll be playing like one of a dozen Assassin's Creed games that are set in Europe, but you'll be like, oh yeah, I've been there.
You always do that. I'm sorry that I have life experiences.
Playing Watch Dogs Legion.
To from Band.
There.
Ooh.
I had those experiences.
We went to Disneyland.
I'm sorry that you didn't get to go to Europe.
Oh, it's cool. It's because I wasn't talented. I'm mature enough to admit that.
Bratwurst.
So
that's how we got here.
They do the thing, and then she has them last minute turn put the street clothes.
I think that's smart.
Of the robes. Because I think that worked because it differentiated them from the other schools. Yeah.
The other school was so stiff in their robes, and they go hip hop.
Yeah, that's hip hop.
Like Jamal.
Some of the other.
That's hip hop.
That's hip hop. I know you don't like my baggy clothes,
but I don't care.
Okay. Some of the other schools were.
Like Jamal comes in and does like a cartwheel,
yeah,
and like
whoa,
a backflip or something.
I wanted more of Jamal. He could.
Which one?
His
Jamal?
Whistle tone in the first musical number.
I know where he
came
goes
out of nowhere.
He goes falsetto. That was cool, and then he doesn't do that ever again.
I looked him up on Apple Music because I'm like, do you still do whistle tones?
Is that what that's specifically called? Is a whistle tone, not just a falsetto?
Yeah, when it sounds like a whistle, when it's so high pitched, it's you're not using any of your diaphragm. Like Ariana Grande does it a lot.
A few years ago, it hurts. So, which means I didn't learn properly.
Yeah, the stuff that can probably break crystals, like glass.
Yeah,
that's whistle tones.
Okay. Does he finish your story? Does he still do music?
He does. Yeah. He released a whole quarantine album.
Cool.
Oh, nice.
I haven't listened to it yet.
Check IMDb to see what his name is, and then.
Hold on. I looked it up on my phone, Apple Music.
So. The mom is there.
Oh, there's that part where like.
His name is Ryan Toby.
And she gets like a line on her face.
Oh my god!
Like, oh, just put another one and you'll be like a gangster or whatever.
You know, he says that you put another one and then like in this tribe, it's a sign of fertility.
Oh yeah, and then they're like, take it off.
Dude, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Again.
That's part of what you were talking about with that attitude of he's, you know, super with the, you know, down in African roots and stuff, but then uses that to make a sexist joke.
Yeah.
It's like, I loved them all, except for that. That was not cool.
Yeah, the whole Afro populism stuff is just.
Yeah. But I mean, again, this is coming from three white people, so.
So who cares?
Who cares? If yeah, you found the joke funny, then it was. Then what? Sure. I think overall, Amal's character is fine.
I don't think it's done in poor taste.
I don't think it is.
Care. I thought it was dumb.
Well, most of this movie is, which yeah. It's a fair point. So the school, they win.
The choir wins. They win.
Shockingly, the choir wins the competition. The school's local diocese, impressed with the performance, agree to keep the school open and give the freed Mr. Crisp a promotion despite his desire for an early retirement.
Yeah.
With the Reverend Mother. So he doesn't own the property. He works for the church.
He does work for the church. I remember him asking about a retirement.
Yeah. When he was like, yeah, so we have to close the school. And then, oh.
Maybe he's a property manager for the diocese.
I don't know.
And.
Let me continue with the Reverend Mother claiming that he came up with the idea for the school choir to begin with. Rita, I mean, he could just whatever. Rita and Florence make amends while the choir learns that Mary Clarence is actually a singer. They ask her if she is a Las Vegas showgirl, to which Mary Clarence claims she has never been such, but is a headliner.
Yeah. Showgirl does not mean the same thing.
Freeze frames.
Yeah.
It's like she's.
Yeah, just like Karate Kid.
Yeah. That's true. Karate Kid does end that way. And I always get confused when that happens because I mix it up with the ending of Karate Kid 3. When they go out to the parking lot. And the new head of Cobra Kai like punches out car windows trying to beat up Mr. Miyagi.
That's not the end of the third. That's the beginning.
I don't remember.
Is it the beginning of the third?
Yeah.
I need to watch the third again. I need to watch Karate Kid again. I've been enjoying Cobra
don't
Kai
watch
so
the third.
Far.
It's not worth it.
No, you know, watch the fourth. Watch the new Karate Kid.
No.
Where he trains.
YouTube Red is overrated.
Someone who is either Alicia Silverstone or someone
it's
who
on
looks
Netflix
like
Netflix now, isn't it?
No, I'm not talking about the yeah. Cobra Kai. I'm not talking about the TV show. I'm talking about the movie, The New Karate Kid, where where Mr. Miyagi trains a girl to beat up a biker gang, and there's no karate competition involved.
Okay, sure.
But yeah. Then there's the redo of Karate Kid with Jackie Chan.
With Jackie Chan.
Mm. Exactly. That was
which
good.
Is canon, I think. I think they mentioned something that confirmed that in Cobra Kai, but whatever, it doesn't matter. Again, not Disney, not giving them airtime. the end credits feature the choir and their teachers performing Ain't No Mountain High Enough, which was a hip new song at the time.
Hip new song. And the thing is that it's the same song that the other school did, so they have to do something differently.
What?
Oh, sorry. No, that's the credit song. Sorry. I got confused.
When they do Joyful Joyful, yeah, the previous one also did it.
That's the freeze frame.
What?
Oh, you can't see it.
Mom, put it in front of you. Yeah, you had to. Oh my gosh, yeah.
I can't take a screenshot and I can't move it closer because of my there we go. Like that's the freeze frame.
And everyone's like
when she says headliner. Disney Plus is like, you don't want to take a screenshot. You're selling this movie one frame at a time.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a shot in the credits where they just have the crane camera just following one of the reverends.
Yeah, that was weird.
No reason. Okay, thanks for breaking the fourth wall.
It was odd. It was odd, to say the least.
Dreams.
Yeah.
No, there's a part earlier where Whoopi looks directly into the camera. I don't remember when it is.
Yeah, I remember you telling me. I don't remember.
We're like, they're in a conversation, and she says. And then she just looks directly into the camera, and I'm like, hi. Hi, Whoopi.
Okay, I don't remember that part.
Yeah.
Come take a seat since you're basically in my house now.
That's how she enters homes, is through this movie.
Through this movie.
Makes eye contact with you.
It's like The Ring, but it's just Whoopi Goldberg living in your house.
She can come anytime.
We should make that. That should be a movie.
Yeah, if Whoopi wants to do another movie. They made War with Grandpa.
Anything goes.
I'm sure she'd be down for it.
That movie is going to be apparently they're trying to get her on my shelf next to Criterion Collection.
They're trying to get her on Picard season 2.
That would be really great because they have what's her name, the blonde cyborg. She came back.
6 of 9. Or
she
something.
Was in Leverage. I don't remember what her name was. But yeah, so they've had people come back from I don't know. From different shows, from different Star Trek shows. So they should get Whoopi.
Should get Whoopi.
Star Trek.
Neither
I only watched it when we didn't have cable.
We watched, because Next Generation would be on like every Saturday.
So I just saw random episodes.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, it's okay.
I liked the Sherlock Holmes one. Final thoughts and moment of the movie. Who wants to go first? I have my moment of the movie, so I think I might go first because I want
to. I forgot to get my moment of the movie.
I was thinking of it during the watch this time.
Oh no!
I enjoyed this movie more than I thought. This movie is better than it deserves to be, but it's still not that good. I think for a sequel of an already clunky premise, I think it's better than it deserves to be. Still not that high of a bar, but whatever. It did make me want to watch the first movie, funnily enough. My moment of the movie is when they are pulling out of the senior center and they run over a pile of garbage and it's quiet and it's just funny. All right, who's next?
I can go next, I guess. Yeah, my final thoughts. This is a great sequel in terms of what a sequel is supposed to be, because like when I'm going to this movie, I don't think there was a single point where I was like, is that something from the first movie? It was just like all this movie, you know, there was no like context needed and nothing like that.
So mm-hmm. That's true.
But as a movie itself, yeah, I just think it was just kind of dumb and it kind of just passes right through the cracks of any sort of target audience.
Yeah,
because it's dumb for an adult audience and too adult for a young audience. Anyway, my moment of the movie is when they're introducing their character, the children in the class, and the kid that likes to do graffiti stands up and he's like, "Yo, I'm Sketch. They call me Sketch because I do sketches." And then I just walked away.
I was like, "I'm done with this movie." Sorry.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought this was going to be one that I just like kind of sat through. And it stands on its own, which I think is the whole point of the podcast, is can we watch this without having seen the second movie or the first movie at all? I thought it was pretty good. As far as my moment of the movie, I tried really hard to think of a funny one. But I think it's the moment where Rita is doing her solo and her mom is like enjoying it, and then afterwards her mom is like, "You're so talented," and I was just like, "Aw."
I thought you were gonna say the moment where her mom is just deadpan glaring at her and then she's glaring back and the guy on the piano is just like looping the same bar over and over again waiting
you
for
remember
her to start.
You remember when we were at that part, I was just like, "She came, and she like, came to the show." I'm easily pleased. What can I say?
I guess.
I knew why her mom came. I knew. So.
I mean, I found it pretty obvious. I just thought that she wasn't going to be able to continue because she thought her mom was there for a different reason.
Yeah, it does last a second longer than you'd think before she finally gets the courage. And I thought she was going to run off and have to be told that she's great.
And Amal would have to come on and do it instead.
Yeah, Amal is great.
Let's rank this wonderful movie.
Yay!
Let's do it.
1 second.
It's got to be above.
No, I got time.
Mermaid 2. There's no way.
We gotta
push that movie as far down the list as we can. Because I don't know what drugs we were on when we put it that high on the list.
When we put what movie?
Little Mermaid 2. It's way too high on the list.
Is it how high?
I don't know. It's way too high, though.
It's 19.
19.
You put it all better than Bambi?
Yeah,
that's what I mean. I'm surprised that it's better than Bambi.
I haven't thought about this. Lizzie McGuire keeps being this, like, sacred Tipping place point. That we do not want to put anything above. It's Kate. It was worse than X-Men.
You think so?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know. Well, I'm a sucker for musicals.
I think it's
so
definitely
kind of...
in between 10 and 18.
Okay. Wow.
I think somewhere in that berth. I think
not
it
Hocus
should go.
Pocus.
I think it should go under Lizzie McGuire.
And
but
above
I can
Tom
be...
and Huck. Actually, no, but Tom and
I
Huck.
I had more fun
I'm
watching
honestly...
this than Tom and Huck.
Let's do it above X-Men. Like right above X-Men.
Right above X-Men. You know what? You know
because
what?
It actually passes the Bechdel test.
It does. It does, and we'll get there.
With flying colors.
With flying colors.
It does have we haven't talked about it, we've kind of indirectly,
oh,
but it
the,
does
the
have
the Duvernay test.
It does okay. have a diverse cast.
Yes.
Which
the
is
Duvernay
a reflection
test
of the
two,
setting.
What is it? It's
two
people
of color talking about something that is not supporting the main white protagonist.
Which is impossible because the
protagonist is Whoopi Goldberg.
And there are girls
is now
just talking
15.
About. Yeah.
All right.
Gosh.
I think that's.
I feel good
spot
about
for
that.
It.
I feel good
about that. Good job, us.
Film Information and Statistics. This was written by James Orr, Jim Cruickshank, Judy Ann Madison, and Paul Rudnick. It was directed by Bill Duke. It was released December 10th, 1993. Is it a Christmas movie, though? No, it's
Ooh.
Not.
Hey, we're doing it about the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is our Christmas
Good
episode.
For us.
Runtime of 1 hour, 47 minutes. IMDb score, 5.6 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes score, critics, 17%. 61% audience.
Yeah.
They
hated
critics,
this movie.
Yeah. They hate comedies. Critics
they
hate
do.
Comedies.
It's not prestige.
And I guess,
it's too wholesome yeah. for them.
It's just a fun movie. It doesn't have to be a good movie.
Yeah,
it's
Bechdel
fun.
Test passed. The website says it's an unnecessary sequel, but it still passes. I disagree.
Unnecessary
I saw some reviews saying that it was a sequel that, like, the first
Should
movie
not
did
have
not,
existed.
Did not first... deserve a sequel, but it surpasses the first. So
okay.
take that as you will from a person on the
let's
internet
see,
that
let's
I found.
Let's see Whoopi Goldberg's expression again. There we go.
What about mine?
Yeah.
Is that just going to be the cover for this episode?
Oh,
like
shoot.
All of us in the bus.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
No, I think it's just Sarah over Whoopi Goldberg's face and a habit.
Being a habit.
Yeah. 1 second.
It's an honor to share this habit, Whoopi.
So we forgot to choose a wheel last time. So I rolled for a random wheel.
Oh, we didn't do a Christmas something? Is it next one Christmas?
You should do a Christmas one.
No, I already did. I already rolled, and we did not get the Christmas one submitted. The one
I told
that
you
the,
I wanted to submit one.
The one that the wheel chose for us to spin was the Darth Vader collection by Shoefoot, who some of you may know to be the alias of Doug.
Oh yes.
So we will
sure.
be spinning
we Doug will be, or Chelsea list.
We will be spinning the Darth Vader collection wheel.
For Christmas.
Sarah's looking at me like she wants to spin it.
Sure, I can spin it.
Okay, it doesn't have unfortunately it doesn't have the Star Wars Holiday Special on the collection, even though Darth Vader is in it.
Oh, I'm so glad. That's good.
Do you want me to add it in?
Oh, no.
Do it. Do it.
I'm gonna go purist and not.
You're such a buzzkill.
You don't have to be here to watch it if it ends up being
I'll add it.
I will watch it again for the holiday season. Not like I've seen it once this year. I will watch it again for fun.
It's a good one. Okay, it's on there. There's no guarantee it'll be chosen, but it's on there. And it was, yeah, it was submitted by Shufa. So Sarah, if you would like to, go ahead and spin that wheel.
Hold on, I gotta put my earbuds back in. I yanked them out in a very dramatic way. Oh, that one goes in this ear. Hold on.
It's very important that your left doesn't go into your right ear.
Ooh, this should be controversial. Episode 4, A New Hope. Because you've already...
No, Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, and the rating will be controversial.
Yeah, if we rank it... I mean, it's already controversial based on how Empire Strikes Back is below Dead Man's Chest.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first one, and someone argue would, like, fans of the of this like, franchise will say is the best one because it's the first one.
There's this one content creator used to follow who's super, like, gatekeepy about movie soundtracks, which is a weird thing to be gatekeepy over, and is like, the best soundtrack of all time is John Williams for A New Hope, and it has not been surpassed since. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure John Williams would be appreciated to hear that. You don't think his skill in making soundtracks has improved since 1977.
I would argue Star Wars music has gotten better as John Williams has done more with it. Exactly. Added new themes and such.
Exactly. It's good. We'll get there.
Star Wars.
We'll get there.
The fans are just so fun.
So
we're
going to be watching
wholesome.
A New Hope. Let's decide. So there's Shoefoot. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Get him out of here.
Let's decide which wheel to spin next. We're not going to forget it this time. We're not going to forget about it. We've got a few to choose from.
Okay.
So you could do Star Wars back to back.
We could. Yeah, I mean, we do have another Star Wars one, the Skywalker saga.
Why?
We still haven't done National Geographic Animals and Nature.
You guys have enjoyed the others so much. You should just never do it again.
Or National Geographic Exploring Our World Collection.
Yeah, the National Geographic episodes, you're always just like,
should
we had to watch something and learn.
When's the last time we did a TV show?
It's been a while since we've done a TV show.
Do sitcoms?
Yeah, maybe do sitcoms, yeah.
Sitcoms?
That'd be fun.
Okay. I will...
Maybe you'll get a DCOM. No, that's Disney Channel original movie.
We might get a... Okay. Okay, make Mad Amalgam on Twitter. Entering the fray again.
Your first and best fan.
Yes. Well, okay. I'm sad that it's not
you.
I am my first and best fan. Thank you very much. So we will be
Your fourth fan.
Yes, we will be spinning the sitcom wheel, which should be interesting.
Star Wars. I have
and
a
we'll be watching
New
a
Hope
New
Hope poster on my wall.
Wouldn't it be great? Never mind. Thank you all so much for listening. if you like the show, please review us on iTunes or whatever podcast service you use to listen. Season of Giving, it's Christmas. Give us a 5-star review. We'll read it on the show. Send your reviews or comments to wherestreamscometrue@gmail.com, at Studio76WSCT on Twitter. Submit wheels, category search terms from Disney+. Send in your review, read it on the show. That is all for this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. And we will see you in 2 weeks.
Oh, happy birthday.
Bye. Bye.